Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends, dear brothers and sisters. We are studying together the Gospel of John. And I would like you, please, to turn with me to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, Besorat Yohanan. Chapter 12 is the portion we are going to deal with this ministry meeting. Thank the Lord for this amazing Gospel that presents before us our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, as the Eternal Son of God. And when we arrive to the 12th chapter, we are heading towards the end of the public ministry of our Lord, of Yeshua, here on earth. When we enter into the 13th chapter and on to the second half of the Gospel of Yohanan, you will notice that Yeshua is gathering together with his Talmidim in the upper room, with his disciples in the upper room in the city of Yerushalayim, and there he is celebrating with them Pesach, the feast of Passover, which God had given to his people Israel. And there he will introduce there the remembrance of himself when he is introducing the new covenant with his own blood that will be shed once he will die on that shameful Roman cross. And so we are in chapter 12. I would like to read, dear brothers and sisters, with you the first 19 verses of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Please follow me as we are reading John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, Eliezer, was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Miriam a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Yehuda Ishkrayot, Judah Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had a bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Yeshua, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Yeshua's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Yeshua. On the next day, much of the people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Yeshua, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Yeshua was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Eliezer out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And I'm stopping here with the reading, beloved brothers and sisters, as I'm reading John chapter 12, verses 1 to 19. This is a very important portion of Scripture, because in John chapter 12, we learn how our blessed Lord Yeshua HaMashiach has now, before he's approaching the time of his death, to remind you that the Lord Jesus the Messiah died right at the time that was prescribed by the Hebrew writer. He became the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of this world. And the feast of Pesach, that is Passover, was the time that he became the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. And we are drawing nigh. And as we read already in verse 1, thence Yeshua 6 days before the Passover. You see, the Passover is approaching. There's a week that is ahead, some 6 days before Pesach is arrived, and he is going to become the anointed, the Mashiach, who would give himself a ransom for many. And as time is drawing nigh, we can learn from this 12th chapter how our Lord Yeshua is relating to various groups of people in the time when the Passover is approaching. Let me remind you that in chapter 6 and verse 66, we read that some left him. We read in chapter 6 and verse 66, From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Here, in the 12th chapter and verse 37, we read, But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him. And then later on in chapter 19, we find those that ultimately rejected him and allowed him to go to the shameful cross. And so what we really learn that Yeshua, the Messiah, God the Son, who came from heaven to provide redemption for mankind, we read of him as he's walking here in this world, he's seeking to relate to various individuals. Of course, in the time that he was here, various individuals from among our people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. You remember that we read in John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, He was in the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the reason that He came, He became a man in order that He will lead people to Himself. In fact, we have also read in the earlier verses of chapter 1 that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Imagine, the creator of this world, that created the world and all the human race, the world and its all humanity did not even know that their creator was in their midst. Then we also read in verse 11 of John chapter 1 that He came unto His own world, and this time His own people, namely the people of Israel, did not receive Him at His first coming. As Isaiah had predicted this in Isaiah chapter 53 by asking the question, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord has been revealed? So just imagine, my dear friend, the eternal God the Son coming down into this world, and the express purpose of His coming to this world is to redeem the sinful world that is doomed to eternal separation from God. The world do not even know Him. His own do not receive Him. And yet, He longed to draw men to Himself. And sadly, even up till today in which we live in today, the vast majority of the world, not only that they don't know Him, not only that they don't receive Him, but sadly, they reject the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so in this, you might say, 12th chapter, Yeshua the Messiah relate Himself to the people whom He loved and cared, and He presenting Himself before them, seeking to cause them to turn to Him. And so this 12th chapter really deal with the lack of faith in the person of the Lord, even when He presents Himself as the only answer for men. In John 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by Me. In Acts chapter 4, and verse 12, when the apostles who acknowledge Him and accepted Him already after His death and resurrection, notice what we read of them saying, especially the apostle Shimon Petros. He said, there is neither salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Shimon Petros said of the Lord Jesus Yeshua from Nazareth. And my dear friend, this is the one that we also want to present before you, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. So notice in these 12 chapters, we have four different groups that are presented before us. We will deal with the disciples. We will deal with the friends of the Lord in the first 11 verses. And then with those a Jewish community that come from all over the world to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover in verses 12 to 19. And then later on in our next message, we're going to deal with the third group. These are the Hellenistic Jewish people who said, we came to see Jesus, we came to see Yeshua, verses 20 to 36. And finally, with all those that they did not believe in verses 37 to 50 of this 12th chapter of the Gospel of Yohanan of John. So you notice this. In verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, went to Beit Onya, Bethany, where he had his friends there, namely Miriam, Martha, and Eliezer. And so he's coming there to visit with them. And notice what we read. It says in verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and they made him supper. To remind you that in the previous chapter, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In verse 25 of chapter 11. In verse 43, he called Eliezer, who was already dead for 4 days. Eliezer, come, Lazarus, come forth. And he which was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with napkin. Yeshua says unto them, loose him and let him go. So he raised Eliezer. To remind you, Eliezer in Hebrew simply means my God is help. And here is the help that Eliezer received from God, who the Son who raised him from the dead. And now he is, there's joy in the home of Eliezer. And here we see how the Lord Jesus came to Bethany. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Beit Onya, and there we see that Eliezer was there, and Martha was there, and Miriam was there, and they made him supper. How wonderful it is to be able to sit together with Yeshua and have supper with him, have a meal with him, enjoy fellowship with him. You notice that as he's sitting there, having this supper, the Hebrew word is mishte ba'erev. The word ba'erev, whenever you see the word supper, is simply an evening meal when they are sitting in a home and spending the time to enjoy fellowship with the Lord. And you notice that we read, and Martha served, and Eliezer was one of them that sat at the table with him, with Yeshua. And verse 3, and then took Miriam a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This is so beautiful to see that, beloved brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to see. And here's a family. Here's a home. Here's in the land of Israel, the family who enjoyed the presence of Yeshua the Messiah. Sadly, of course, the vast majority of our people did not recognize that he was indeed the Mashiach. And therefore, they did not enjoy the time to spend with him and to learn from him. Instead of acknowledging him, the leaders rejected him and sought to slay him. And yet, here is a family in Beit Onya, not too far from Yerushalayim, is enjoying the presence of the Messiah with them. That reminds me, it's so customary in the Middle East and in the land of Israel to be hospitable. Remind us of Avram in the Genesis chapter 18, that received that visit of the Lord and the two angels right in his own tent in the heat of the day. You remember? The Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, Genesis 18 and verse 1. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw three men stood by him. And we realize that one of them, of course, was none else but the pre-incarnate Mashiach. It was Jehovah the Son. He called him my Lord, Adonai. He said in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 18, and what a privilege he had to be able to minister unto the pre-incarnate Messiah before his incarnation. Here we can see the Messiah now after his incarnation, namely after he became a man, took upon himself to become a man. He, in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. And now here in this home in Beit Onya, they made him a supper. And again, we learn from these verses of these three individuals, Eliezer, Miriam, and Martha. Three brothers and sisters together here in their own home, inviting Yeshua the Messiah to enjoy a meal with them. Now, as we read these passages in the 12th chapter, you notice that each one of them is doing something. We read that Martha served, as she always did. She was a servant. Eliezer, Lazarus, he's sitting at the table with Yeshua. And Miriam is the one that poured the ointment of spikenard, which was very, very costly. Interesting to see that in these three persons, namely Eliezer, Martha, and Mary, and Miriam, we learn this aspect of the enjoyment to be occupied with the Lord. Of course, we can see that Martha was serving. Well, somebody had to serve, somebody had to prepare the food, and somebody had to provide and to serve the food in that home. And this is tremendous, important, of course, to serve the Lord. And of course, service always flows out of being occupied with the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Whenever we are occupied with God, we can also serve Him and minister unto Him and unto His people. Remind us of a verse that is written in Hebrews chapter 13, where we read in verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." To serve is essential for the people of God as we serving Him and living for Him here in this world. But not only to serve Him, service often flows out of fellowship with the Lord. And this is also, beloved brothers and sisters, an important lesson that we learn from the fact that Lazarus spent the time to sit with the Lord Jesus the Messiah at the table, speaking with Him, conversing with Him, having fellowship with Him. And this is important, as the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, with His Son, Jesus, the Messiah." So we learn that with Martha, we learn about the serving the Lord. With Eliezer, Lazarus, sitting along with the Lord at the table and enjoying communication with Him, there we learn from Eliezer the necessity of having fellowship with the Lord. But what about Miriam? Notice that. What did she do? She took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. We can see the attitude of worshiping Him. He is, after all, was the one that the promised Messiah. He is, after all, is the one that revealed Himself to this family as the Redeemer who would come to this world to provide redemption. He said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the one who raised Lazarus, their brother Eliezer, from death. And that's why Miriam was so overwhelmed with who he is. And she sought to worship him. The writer to the early Hebrew believers said in Hebrews chapter 13 again and verse 15, he said, by him, namely by Yeshua, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In other words, let us never forget to worship the Lord, to offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually by and through the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. And so in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, we see this little family there next to the town of, to the city of Jerusalem, in a little town called Beit Onya. And there they made him a supper in that evening. Wonderful to see. And you notice that, my dear friend, when Miriam poured out this ointment of spikenard, very costly, what did she do? She poured it at his feet. The feet of Yeshua. And then what does she do? She takes the hair of her head, which represent the long hair, represent the glory of the woman. And she, what does she do? She wiped his feet with her hair. Imagine what an attitude of heart Miriam have had. What an attitude of heart Miriam have had. This is fascinating, beloved brothers and sisters. And notice that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Why was the house filled with the odor of the ointment? It was an expensive, a costly ointment. But the thought behind this is that whenever we have fellowship with the Lord, whenever we serve the Lord, and whenever we worship the Lord, there will always be an order of aroma, of the order that rises up from who he is. In fact, while we see here that the aroma that rose up was because of the ointment, but in reality, the aroma that rose up here is because of the person of this individual whose name is Yeshua, God the Son. You know that in Mark chapter 14, we find out the same scene here, and the house was the house of Simon here, and he was Simon the leper. We do not know who was that Simon the leper. It may have been a relative of the family. It may have been maybe a husband of one of Martha. We do not know. Shimon, here it says Shimon the leper, not to mix it with Shimon the Pharisees in Luke chapter 7, but we find here, we don't have the name of the of Miriam, but we hear that a woman, this is verse 3 of Mark chapter 14, she took this box of ointment, but she poured it on his head. It's amazing to think how every gospel present the person of the Lord and what was happening in his ministry here from a different aspect. Mark present him as a servant. John present Yeshua the Messiah as the eternal Son of God. But we learn from here the importance, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, is simply to have these three, you might say, three important lessons for each and every believer in Jesus the Messiah. We need to be like Miriam in sitting at his feet and worshiping him. We need to be like Eliezer in sitting in at the table with him and having fellowship with him. And we need to be like Martha, who is there ministering unto him and serving him and his people. These are the aspects of the ministry of every true believer in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. We are to worship the Messiah, Yeshua. We are to fellowship with the Messiah, Jesus, and we are to serve our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And what a privilege it is for all of us to serve our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. This is a privilege that we have as believers. You remember what David said many, many years ago as we think about this costly perfume that Miriam poured upon the feet of our Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, we read in verse 24, we read, "And the king said unto Arunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at the price, neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing." So David bought a thresh floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And you know that threshing floor of Ornan, there was David erecting an altar. And David built an altar unto the Lord, and he offered burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. In other words, David said, I'm not going to offer unto the Lord that which is not going to cost me something. And here it was a costly ointment, expensive one, but the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And as we move along now, of course, there is someone like Yehuda Ishkriot, Judah Iscariot. And you notice in verses 4, 5, and 6, we read the contrast between Miriam, who was a true worshiper, and Judas, or Yehuda Ishkriot, who was a false individual, who was not even a child of God. We read, "Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot," in Hebrew, Yehuda Ishkriot, Yehuda, the man of the suburbs, "Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Judas, Yehuda, really care not for the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. What a contrast. A true child of God, seek to worship the Messiah Jesus, seek to serve him, seek to have fellowship with him. But others, such as Judas, who was there and he was really one that could not care else, neither for the Lord Yeshua, neither for the poor. He was, according to this verse 6 of John 12, he was a thief. He didn't care for the poor. He had the bag and bear what was put therein. What a contrast between the child of God who loved the Lord, who loved God and loved the Messiah Yeshua, and another one who is unregenerated individual who ultimately betrayed the Lord and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. How different between Miriam and Judas Ishkriot. And as we move along now, beloved friend, dear brothers and sisters, we read in verses 7 and 8 the words that the Lord Jesus the Messiah said to the guests that were there, in the friends of the family, the friends of Miriam, Martha, and Lazarus. Notice what he said to them in verses 7 and 8. "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." In other words, the poor among our people of Israel was always going to be in the midst of the nation of Israel. And the poor will always be here in this world in which we live in today. But the Messiah was there for this short time before he is going to the cross, where he will pay for the sin of the world. The poor need to be taken care of. The poor need to be loved and helped. God have instructed Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 15, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt open thine heart wide to thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. We are to open our hearts to those that have a need. And this is the, in every period of time in the history of man, the poor need to be cared for and remembered. But the poor shall never cease out of thy land, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, when God spoke to Israel. Here is the Messiah here, again in the land of Israel, and he's saying the poor is always you will have with you, but me ye have not always. Why did he say that? Because our Lord, the Messiah, of whom we read in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 8, we read of him himself who became poor. You remember what he said of himself in Matthew chapter 8? He said to the people with him, with whom he communicated, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay head. He said he was that poor one that came into this world in order to provide redemption for mankind, but he became poor in order that we might become rich, and therefore he was on his way to the cross, where he will be the one that will redeem us unto God and will pay for the sin of this world. You remember what Shaul Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And sure enough, he was that poor who was on his way to the shameful cross to pay for the sin of this world. And so he said to all the guests there who came to the home, he says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, hath she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Imagine that Miriam poured out the ointment of spikenard, which was very costly, and anointed the feet. Here in chapter 12 of John, the head, in Mark chapter 14, of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, wiping the feet with her hair. She did this when Yeshua was still alive. Later on, after his death, we will read that he was anointed after Nicodemus took him down from the tree, and they anointed him after his death, but she did that. Miriam did it while he was yet alive. How precious it is to learn from Miriam. May the Lord help us to learn from these three individuals to worship him as Miriam did, to have fellowship with him as Eliezer did, to serve him as Martha did. What a privilege we have to do today, because our time on earth is short, is limited. Soon will the Master come and he will take us to be with him in glory. And then we are going to have fellowship with him, and we are going to worship him, and we're going to serve him throughout eternity. But here and now, when we have the privilege to do it in the day of his rejection, may the Lord help us to do so and not to be like this one Judas Iscariot, Yehuda Iscariot, which had no idea, no love for God, no love for Yeshua HaMashiach, no love for the one who came to this world and claimed that he cared for the poor. What a sad commentary we see here about this person by the name of Yehuda. But on the other hand, the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And I would suggest it's not so much even the ointment. It is the thought here is the whole house was filled with the odor of the person of Yeshua the Messiah, God the Son, who loved us and came to this world in order to provide redemption for you and I, my dear friend. And the whole world one day will be filled with the odor of his person. He is the one who is the joy of the heart of those that have trusted in him. He is the one, the Redeemer, the Savior of this world. And so we continue in now verses 9, 10, and 11. The interest of the many people in the person of Jesus and the person of Eliezer, whom he raised from the dead. We read in verse 9, we read, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Eliezer also, whom he had raised from the dead." Notice that many came to the home, many came to the village of Bethany, because not only that they were interested to see and to hear the words of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, but also to see a man that was once dead for 4 days. And they wanted to see, is he alive? Is he alive? As we have heard that he was alive. And surely enough, they came and they saw Eliezer, because after all, the one who said, "I am Ani, I am the resurrection and the life, the great I am," raised him from the dead. So many came. Many people that were there came not only to see the person of the Messiah, Jesus, but also Eliezer, whom he raised. And we read in verses 10 and 11, but look at the contrast. The chief priests consulted that they might put Eliezer also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Yeshua. Notice that. What can you say? Eliezer was dead for 4 days. Yeshua came and said, "Eliezer, Lazarus, come forth." Eliezer came forth. And he was raised. And so many came and they saw one that was dead now alive. And so they believe on the Messiah. Now you notice that here we read that many believe. We don't read that Yeshua did not commit himself unto them, as we read earlier in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. And so those that have believed here, people who were sincerely believing on him, yes, they have seen that the miracle of the resurrection of Eliezer, but we don't read here that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in their hearts. Well, I'm sure, and we have a confidence, he knew the hearts of all. But apparently, they came and they believe on him, and the chief priest now wanted not only to put to death Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, but also Eliezer himself. How sad was this situation in the hearts of the chief priests who consulted together against the Lord and now also against Lazarus. And so, in verses 1 to 11, my dear beloved friend, we read of the Lord Jesus is presenting himself there at the home of Mary, Miriam, Martha, and Eliezer for a time of dinner, of supper, where they ministered to him and worshipped him, and the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How important it is for us as well, both individually and collectively in our home and collectively with other believers, to worship the Lord, to have time, to spend time with Him, and also to serve Him here in the world in which we live in. Now, as we move along here, from verses 12 to 19, we notice now that the Lord presenting Himself now, relating to a different group, and this time, the group not so much from Bet Onyahu in the home of Lazarus and his sister in Bethany, but here He is communicating and relating to the people who came to celebrate the Feast of Pesach. And so verses 12 to verse 19, we see the triumphal entry of the Messiah into the city of Jerusalem. To remind you that Bet Onyahu is 2 to 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, come down from Mount of Olives, down crossing the Kidron Valley, climbing up to Mount Moriah, and so it's very nigh to Bethany. And so we find out the next, notice that, verse 12, we read in verse 12 to verse 16, the entry to the city of Jerusalem by our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And so we read in verse 12, the coming of the multitude of the Jewish community to celebrate the Feast of Pesach. We read, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Again, to remind you, in the same chapter, John 12, 1, then Yeshua, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, the next day passed by, the following day, He is now entering into the city of Jerusalem. The next day, many people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they now were preparing to receive Him in the city of Jerusalem. In verse 13, they cried, Hosanna, as He was approaching the city of Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet Him, and they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Notice that the word Hosanna comes from two Hebrew words. Hosha means save. Na, save now. Please save. Save now. And you notice that the individuals, the people that came from all over the north and the south and the east and the west and even outside of the land of Israel coming to keep the Feast of Pesach. To remind you that God commanded the people of Israel when they would be away from the land to send delegations, male men would approach the city of Jerusalem 3 times in a year. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Shavuot, weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, 3 times in a year, Deuteronomy 16. And they would come to the city of Jerusalem to be there to keep these appointed seasons that God had given for the nation of Israel. And so they took branches and palm trees, and they went forth to meet Him, and they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. To remind you that they were anticipating the messianic days in which the Messiah will come, the King will come, but they did not understand that before the Messiah will become the King of Israel, before he is going to reign and to rule and restore the nation as a nation and the whole world, He must first pay for the sin of this world. And what we read really here is that which was already prophetically written by the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This is prophetic word concerning the first coming of the Messiah. Notice, he is just, he is having salvation, he is lowly, and he is riding upon an ass. In other words, when the Messiah would come at his first coming, he will come in humility, he will come in lowliness, he will come to provide salvation, though he is indeed the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. But at his first coming, he would come in order to suffer and die and to fulfill the feast of Passover, where the Passover lamb will be killed. John in John 1 verse 29 have already proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He will be the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the Pasach, who will pay for the sin of this world. But the people misunderstanding this, and yet they took branches, palm trees. They went forth to meet the Messiah, to meet Christ, to meet Yeshua. And they cried, Hosanna, save now, save now. Blessed is the King of Israel. Quoting, of course, Zechariah 9:9, who cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, I always was impressed with the psalmist of Israel in Psalm 118, that wrote prophetically about the day that the Messiah will come to provide redemption for this world. This is the psalm that he sung during the Passover days. And the psalmist of Israel said, I will praise thee, Psalm 118, verse 21, for thou hast heard me, and I become my salvation, Yeshuati. And then notice verse 22. The stones which the builders refuse is become the head of the corner. In other words, the Messiah is the stone. And the builders is the nation of Israel who will not acknowledge the Messiah at his first coming. Will not acknowledge that Yeshua is the Messiah at his first coming. But he became the head of the corner. And then we read in verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In other words, it is the plan of God. It is the Lord's doing. He knew that at his first coming, men, not only Israel, but men, the whole world will reject him. He knew that. It is the Lord's doing. He knew that. But he came to provide redemption for individuals in the days of his rejection, whether it is Israel or whether it is the nation of the world, individuals who will trust in him and accept him in the time of his rejection. But salvation will be provided. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvel in our eyes. That's why verse 24 of Psalm 118, the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, my dear friend, when the psalmist said, this is the day, Zehayom Asher Asa Adonai, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This day that he is speaking about in Psalm 118 and verse 24 is not any normal day. Sometime you and I get up in the morning and we see the sun is shining and we are so happy and we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And surely every day the Lord had made, whether the sun is shining or whether the clouds are in the sky. It is the day that the Lord have made. But in the context of Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day when the Messiah will pay for the sin of this world. When he will become the salvation. When he will become the stone which the builders will refuse, and he will become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. This is the plan of God. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in order to redeem them which were under the law. Galatians 4:4. He was ordained before the foundation of the world. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is very, very important for all of us to understand. It was in a plan of God, because sin entered into this world. But God already knew that the Mashiach will come to become the Redeemer. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, listen to this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of the Messiah, of Christ, the Mashiach, notice, verse 19, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But Peter doesn't stop there in verse 19. He continues in verse 20 of 1 Peter 1, and he says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, God knew it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. It is fascinating to learn. And those of us who are believers today, we learn from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. You see, my dear friend, the Messiah was already foreordained before the foundation of the world, this lamb that will be slain. God knew all things. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Verse 24 of Psalm 118. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist continues, as the people of Israel, the people who came for the Passover, said, save now, Hosanna! I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said to them? Ye shall not see me henceforth, he said to our own people Israel, until you're going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, until you're going to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Notice what we read here, beloved brothers and sisters, here in John chapter 12. Notice what they said. The people who came for the Passover, they came forth, they took branches of palm trees, they went forth to meet the Messiah, to meet Christ, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. But they did not understand that he came to die first, to pay for the sin of this world. And so as they are crying here in this passage, in verse 13 of John chapter 12, they say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Melech Yisrael, the King of Israel. We find out in verse 14 that Yeshua as it is written, found a donkey, a young ass, and sat on it. And notice that we read here very clearly, Jesus, when he had found a young ass and sat thereon, as it is written, where? Zechariah 9:9. And then these things we read in verse 14 and 15. He said, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. In other words, he fulfilled what Zechariah had spoken concerning the first coming of the Messiah, that he will be sitting on an ass and drawing nigh to the city of Jerusalem. And Zechariah have provided for us this information in his message concerning the first coming of the Messiah, that he will come lowly and will be for the purpose of providing salvation, not yet to reign, because the time of his rejection will be first. He has to become the Passover lamb before he will reign as the one who will reign at the Messianic kingdom, which represented by the Feast of Tabernacles. And so listen to this as we draw nigh towards the last verses here. Verses 15, 16 to 19, we read in verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Yeshua was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. You see, beloved friends, to remember that the disciples and the people who came to celebrate Passover, the Jewish community worldwide who came to celebrate the Passover, they did not have the information that you and I have today, but they had the Tanakh, they had the prophets of Israel, and they could read this and learn of the coming of the Messiah. Sadly, the spiritual leaders should have acknowledged him, having plenty of information that is found in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scriptures, but they did not receive him. As we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now notice verse 17, 18, and 19. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, you notice how many times we find the people. Verse 12, on the next day, much people. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him. The next verse we read again in verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he have done this miracle. Once and again we find the people. These people are the people that came from afar to keep the feast of Pesach, and they have heard of the resurrection of Eliezer by Yeshua. They have seen, some of them, the resurrected Lazarus already there in Bethany, and now we see that they have seen him coming to the city of Jerusalem, this triumphant entry to the city of Jerusalem. And yet, beloved friends, Jesus the Messiah came now to Jerusalem, because soon and very soon, as the days pass by and Passover become the day to celebrate, Yeshua will become the Passover lamb that will take away the sin of this world. He will be crucified on a Roman cross, and he will pay for the sin of this world. And so the last verse we read, listen to this, verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Well, this is wonderful. Even though, of course, we know that all the world didn't go after him, yet notice that the expression, so many believed on him, as we have already read in verse 11, that many believed on Jesus. Here we see the leaders, the Pharisees says, the whole world, the world is gone after him, because many had recognized that Yeshua was indeed the Messiah. And the Lord knows the hearts. He knows those that really belong to him and those who do not. And we trust that anyone who hears the message of the gospel will make sure that he or she, turning their hearts to the person of the Lord Jesus, receiving him as your Lord and your Savior, and believing on him not only because of the miracles that he had made, but because of who he is. I'm reminding you once again, in John chapter 20, and verses 30 and 31, John really concluding this gospel concerning the person of the Messiah, and he says there, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Yes, he raised the dead, he gave sight to the blind, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak. But the reason that he came, that Yeshua, that God the Son came to this world, is to become the Redeemer, to become the Savior, to become the one that will provide a salvation here in this world for people such as you and I, who are lost by nature, who are sinners. And we must learn to trust in him, because there is only one way in order to receive salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, if you only will believe on him. The Apostle Paul said these wonderful words in Romans chapter 10. He said these words, in verses 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My dear friend, do you believe on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah? Did you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior? Here he comes. He is on the way to Jerusalem to pay for the sin of this world and to become the Lamb of God. And so behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. And so in these first 19 verses of John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, relate himself to his friends in the town of Beit Onia, Bethany, verses 1 to 11. And then he relating to his Jewish people, the Jewish community who came from all over the land of Israel and beyond to keep the feast of Passover. He presenting himself, seeking and longing for them to believe that he was indeed the promised Messiah. Most didn't. Many did. Hopefully you, today, while it is the day of grace, hopefully that you will come to believe indeed in the person and the work of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Well, God bless you, my friend. Until our next message, I will say to you, Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.